You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I am Scott.
And I am Steve talking, ha ha ha, laughing out loud. Thank you for having me on Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
And the great Stephen Hawking has joined us, John. The great Stephen
Hawking. His cadence is a little slow, man.
It is a little slow, and that's the thing. You know, we were talking to him before the show. What a pain in the ass to hook up his equipment. I think he's still running like MS-DOS 4.0.
It sounds like shit.
You think that Stephen Hawking would get better equipment?
No doubt.
You know?
Yeah, I agree, man. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah. So... Stephen Hawking has joined us for episode 121.
121.
Well, hold on. He's blinking his eyes.
Uh-oh.
And when he blinks, you know what that means?
I don't know.
It means he's going to say something? He's going to say something. That's what it means.
Oh.
When he blinks.
All right.
Hold. Well, yeah, I think.
He's having trouble.
Here he comes.
It's
ready?
A little dark.
Where's the bourbon, Scott? How about JD? I want to see John get his panties in a bunch. Ha ha ha, do you think John will kick me out of his house?
What is he talking about?
Ha ha ha, that's funny. I ripped that little straw out of your mouth.
I would even drink bourbon and scotch is what
I
want to know.
I don't know. Intervenously?
Maybe.
Intervenously?
I don't know.
Inter the anusly?
Inter anusly.
Ha ha ha.
He's come on the show because, you know, he's a forum member. We talked about this last week. And I guess he was reading a forum post that was an exchange between Andrew from the UK.
Oh, right, yeah.
Andrew UK and myself concerning string theory, so he wanted to come in and give us a different perspective on string theory.
Different,
and talk about some other stuff. But before we get to that, do you have... when he first showed up, we had the mics rolling, and we had some trouble getting down the stairs.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Yeah, I got a little bit of that.
Let's hear that. This is us trying to get Stephen Hawking down the stairs.
Right. Right, hold on. I got to bring... Whoa, what is that?
I don't know. That's his equipment, man. It's
horrible.
Is that
his respirator?
Your equipment is horrible.
Wait, here it is. Now, that was Stephen Hawking's wheelchair falling down the stairs. Is captured with our mics.
Oh, hold on. He's blinking his eyes.
John, I am fixing on fucking you in the ass. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ho, capital L-O-L.
Pet anus.
Oh, that's funny. Stephen Hawking, King.
Hey, don't make fun of him, man. This guy's a genius.
Yeah, he's a real genius. He came on our show.
He's a fan of our show, man. He's a fan.
Oh, okay.
Tetanus. Tetanus. Ha ha ho ho ha ha. Laughing out loud.
You motherfucker.
What's with the tetanus?
All right, so on the forum...
Why does he say laughing out loud every time?
I don't know. Maybe he's got it
programmed
in or something.
Can he just type in ha 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 or with his eyes or something?
How does he laugh out loud?
I know, but why is he got to say laughing out loud and then go ha ha ha? We know he's laughing out loud because he's saying ha ha ha.
He just wants to emphasize. Maybe he feels that... he can't capture his true joy.
What is it? Is that like his respirator?
I think so.
Are we broadcasting next to the ocean?
Well, what we'll do is he has other commitments, so we're going to try to get to Stephen Hawking right away so he can get out of here. I guess he's got to go to Africa or some shit like that, and he's going to be either participating in some lecture or something.
Hey, yeah. I got a Stephen Hawking joke.
Sure.
What's the hardest part about eating Stephen Hawking?
The wheelchair.
Right. That's good, ain't it?
Yeah, that's good. All right, so on the forum, Andrew UK and I exchanged a post about string theory.
Yeah.
He was a supporter of string theory. I am not a supporter of string theory. We exchanged ideas.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, go out and read that forum post, and it's up to you. You draw your own conclusions. But it was a true exchange of ideas, John.
True.
A true education.
Oh, yeah.
The benefit for me is I have a final project in my class at school, and I can just use our exchange as my final project, and I'm done.
Yeah, now I know why we have like 12 listeners, because you abuse them.
I don't abuse them.
Yeah.
Come on, that wasn't abuse. Even he said it wasn't abuse. He was expecting abuse, and he said I was gracious.
He's just saying that.
No, he's not.
That's not what he told me later on.
Oh,
in a
really?
Post, yeah.
In a private post.
Yeah, but
right.
I don't want to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, sure.
Because, you know.
Whatever. But anyway. So Stephen Hawking is here just to address string theory, and I think he wants to plug his website and some other things.
Soylent Green.
But the one thing.
People.
Yes, yeah. The great Charlton Heston. The one thing. Andrew's mother knew Stephen Hawking's mother. And Andrew met.
No, he's
Andrew
not doing
UK
like a.
Met Stephen Hawking at Stephen Hawking's 50th
he's
birthday
not
party.
Doing a. My mother and your mother are both mothers joke.
Who?
Andrew.
No. He posted that.
My mother
post.
And Stephen Hawking's mother are both mothers.
They were both friends. And
oh,
Andrew,
really?
When he was a young lad, went to Stephen Hawking's 50th birthday party. Stephen, do you remember that? Do you remember him? I guess he asked you about, he asked you a question. I can't remember what the question was.
Yes, I remember him. He asked me where the nearest black hole was. I told him to pull his head out of his ass and have a look.
You motherfucker!
Well,
oh, man, that's just, that's not nice. Stephen Hawking's pretty funny.
He's a funny guy.
He's got some
yeah,
some humor.
Stephen, we talked earlier before the show, as complicated as that was. But he wanted to mention something
else.
It's
not that complicated.
You know, we talked about the exchange of ideas and the true education. That's where you get the real education, when you exchange the ideas, John. I guess you have to have some sort of education to have a foundation to exchange ideas. But then once you have that foundation and you exchange ideas, you get the true education. Stephen, you had something to say about that?
Yes, the exchange of ideas, it's almost up there with the exchange of bodily fluids. I am sorry, that was stupid.
What?
Yeah, that was stupid. I don't know what he was saying there.
Is he drinking? What did you
know.
Slip him, a roofie?
No, I didn't slip him anything. I didn't slip him anything.
What, do you feel it? Yeah, it's
know.
All mental, isn't it?
It is mental. It's all mental.
You think he gets stoned? Do you get stoned, Steven? Huh? What
hold
are you
on.
Saying, for?
He's blinking his eyes.
Oh. Hold the mic up to his eyelids, would you?
You motherfucker!
That is one big pile of shit.
Come on, Steve, spit it out!
Yes, I get stoned to the beaches as well. Here is a point. You are both missing.
Hold on,
you
hold
would
on.
Know if you
settle down. Once he gets going, you can't shut him up.
Hold on now.
Your demise blinking.
Yeah.
Oof.
So he gets stoned to the bejesus.
What's your fucking point?
All right, so Andrew and I went back and forth on string theory, and Stephen, you had something to say about that?
Well, here is a point you are both missing, which you would know if you read my book, A Brief History of Time, you dopes.
Oh,
you
right.
dopes!
You dopes!
Is he imitating the Pope now? You dopes!
You dope! You dope!
You dopes!
Well, what you know? You mentioned this point that we are missing. What is the point that we are missing now? You say it's covered in your...
The point is a particle, not a string.
Another way to think about it is this. General relativity cannot be unified with quantum mechanics, therefore either general relativity is wrong, or quantum mechanics is wrong. Chew on that, you dopes. I believe I stated it like this. Unfortunately, however, these two theories are known to be inconsistent with each other. They cannot both be correct.
Wow. I think I get what he's saying.
That's deep.
He's saying that string theory is unifying general relativity and quantum mechanics, or it's attempting to. But he's saying, what if one of those theories is wrong?
It's fucked up, yeah.
Yeah.
It throws everything out the window. Baby with the bat water.
Yeah, right on.
You motherfucker!
No doubt.
Well, Steven, can I call you Steven?
Wait for him to bat his eyes. How do you know if he said yes or not? Yes. Yes, you can. Ha hee ha ho 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 ho.
What about string theory specifically? What are your thoughts on that, Mr.
Fuck you, asshole.
That wasn't Stephen Hawking.
Oh,
hold on.
It sounds like him.
Another way to think about is this.
You already said that.
General relativity cannot.
Yeah, no, well, that way you're repeating yourself.
Come on, my question was specifically now. We're talking specifically about string theory.
Wait, I think he's blinking his eyes. I could see he's going to say something.
Fuck you, asshole.
That's him, isn't it?
No.
Take it back!
Specifically, we're talking about string theory. What do you specifically think about that?
I think Scott hit it on the head right from the bat. Physicists like myself like to have the math support our thoughts and ideas, not the other way around. That would be like coming and then having sex. When all one really wants to do is fall asleep. Do you have some weed? Mary Jane? A car puff and stuff?
What? What? Well, he answered our question about string theory, and then he's asking if we have any weed.
That's great.
Do we have any weed?
That's great.
Is that great?
No. What's great is how, Scott hit it right on the head.
Of course I hit it right on the head. That's the great Stephen Hawking talking right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, he's blinking.
Wait, I got the great Stephen Hawking right here.
Stop shouting! Yeah, I'm not deaf!
Hold on, he's blinking. He's got something else to say.
Oh, Scott, I loved your theory about pink dinosaur hunters. Pink hunt. Hunt.
You are
Mike.
A meathead.
Hunt Mike. Hunt hurts. Mike. Hunt is wet. Capital L-O-L.
Oh, Jesus. Capital L-O-L.
Jesus. Yeah, capital, he's laughing out loud.
Oh, my God.
Right on. Right on, Steven. He's the man, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the... Yeah.
He is the man.
Form? He's the man.
I do not want to bore anybody talking about the fairy tale known as string theory or M theory.
Oh.
Fuck you.
I guess we're done talking about that.
Yeah.
Stop whining.
The other thing he wanted to do, you know, when he was... He's a big fan of ours, John. I don't know if you know that or not.
No, it sounds like he's more of a big fan of yours.
No, of ours.
I don't
total
know how that
nonsense.
Could be. How's that happening?
What do you mean, how's that happening?
He's a big fan of Scott only.
No.
Doesn't want to get my panties in a bunch, but for you, Scott hit it right on the head. He is a genius. I love the Scott. He is the greatest.
Fuck you, asshole.
He's just fucking with you.
John, I am fixing on fucking you. Uh-huh,
see, yeah.
Oh, capital L-O-L. Leave enough room for my fist, cause I am going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
But I hope you leave enough room for my fist, because I'm going to ram it into your stomach.
He's a fan of ours.
Right.
Right.
Ours. Ours.
Chill out.
Yes, of ours.
Hey, this is him too, isn't it?
Chill out, dickwad. Don't be ridiculous.
He sounds just like Arnold.
Fuck you, asshole. Fuck you, asshole.
Fuck you, asshole.
Hold on, he's saying something.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about my website, ha ha ha.
He has a website called ha ha ha?
He's always laughing.
Let's talk about my website, ha ha ha. What is it, www.wahaha? What the fuck?
I don't know. He's one of the most joyous physicists I've ever met. Well, I guess he's the only physicist I've ever met.
I would like to plug my website, http://www.talking.org.uk. It is no total talk nonsense, but I like it just the same. Does God play dice?
What?
Black holes. Find out what it's all about in the lectures on my website.
Oh, so he's got some lectures on his website. Lectures? Are they like this? I mean, do they sound like this? Do you talk and record? Do you blink your eyes and record?
Isn't he English, though?
Yeah, he is.
How come he doesn't have an English accent when he...
Hey, I told you before, the guy's got... He's running like MS-DOS 4.0.
No, it is text.
Okay, so the lectures are text. They're not... audio,
oh,
like you get
not.
To hear on our show. So this is kind of an exclusive, having Stephen Hawking on our show.
Right. So there are no audio lectures.
Not from him, no.
No.
But there are lectures.
Yes, I have lectures available online, but you have to read them. You dope in one talk, I speculate a little on the development of life in the universe, and in particular, the development of intelligent life, not ha. I shall take this to include the human race, not chimps like ha, laughing out loud. Even though much of its behavior throughout history has been pretty stupid, exactly like the dubia, and not calculated to aid the survival of the species.
All right, so that's one of his lectures about intelligence and how intelligence came to be. I wonder what else. Is there anything else you want to plug about lecture-wise? Mr. the Great Professor Hawking? Dr. Hawking?
And Scott was right on with his definition of entropy. Let me refresh your memory.
Jesus
it is
Christ.
A matter of common experience that things get more disordered and chaotic with time. This observation can be elevated to the status of a law, the so-called second law of thermodynamics. This says that the total amount of disorder, or entropy, in the universe, always increases with time. However, the law refers only to the total amount of disorder.
Wow. There you have it.
Yeah.
It only refers to the total amount of disorder.
Right.
Well, what does that mean?
Is this show Total Talk Nonsense or Scott's Physics Corner? Huh?
Hey, he wanted to plug his website. It's the least we can
do
for the great Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, the great Stephen Hawking.
You can
Hawking.
Find all of this on his website.
One thing Scott failed to mention is that life or living things can be defined by inversing entropy. For example, the order in one body can increase, provided that the amount of disorder in its surroundings increases by a greater amount. This is what happens in a living being. One can define life to be an ordered system that can sustain itself against the tendency to disorder and can reproduce itself.
Wow. That's pretty profound, right?
Yeah, that's deep, man.
Living beings.
Right.
Defy the law, the second law of thermodynamics.
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 Yeah. Thermodynamics.
What was that website again?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Should we have him give out the website again?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I mean, he came all the way here to plug his website, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 All right, hold on.
Yeah, let's see.
We're having some problems.
Have him read his website again with his eyelids. Come on, spit it out, Steven. Can't wait till you suck up to Scott a little more.
I would like to plug my website, http://www.talking.org.uk.
There you go, www.org.uk.
I'm going to have to get my own crippled physicist here in on the show.
The one other thing you wanted to talk to yeah. about us was
maybe
movies.
We should be John and Steven.
Was movies.
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Steven, because he's talking much better than you.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you wanted to mention movies.
All right.
As you know, my movie Brief History of Time is the best movie ever.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess he heard us talking about the worst movies. We're, you know.
Oh, yeah.
John, you already have your list for the 10 worst movies. I do not have my list.
Well, I picked the worst I've seen. I can't.
The worst you've
obviously
seen.
Obviously comment on anything I have not seen. So
obviously.
I'm not going to say. We're doing this in the worst that we've seen.
Right.
Right?
So we can't talk about the hottie and the naughty,
right.
for example. Right.
I don't have a worst list. I just have movies I fucking hate.
Oh, all right.
All right. That'll work.
Yeah. Movies he fucking hates. Maybe that's what we should change our list to. Movies I fucking hate.
Movies we fucking hate.
What's with the foul language there?
Like weird science, cause I really related to those two nerds, and neither of them got to bang Kelly Laid Rock. Rhymes with cock. Ha 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 ha.
Oh my God. All right, so he didn't like weird science. Didn't like that one.
That is one big pile of shit.
It is a big pile of shit. What else? Is there anything else he didn't like? Hold on, he's blinking his eyes.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
What?
And always yelling, Dad, Dad. It really ruined the movie for me. Like we are too stupid to figure out that Sean Connery is the dad. Dad, Dad. Give it a rest already.
I'd have to agree with him there. Have you
I
seen
disagree.
That?
I think that's a great movie.
I think it is a great movie, but that also annoys me. Every time he talks to his dad, he's got to say, Dad! Dad! Yeah.
So what?
It was irritating. I agree with you, Mr. Hawking.
Well, I'm not one that had the luxury of yelling for Dad all the time when I was a kid. So, you know, now that I do have kids...
Yeah.
My kid's always saying dad. I don't remember ever going, dad, dad, mom, dad, mom, dad. But now I have kids, and they say that all the time. And also, having a father-in-law who's deaf, I hear dad all the time from my wife. Dad, 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 dad.
And it never gets on your nerves?
Deaf. Well, it doesn't matter if it gets on my nerves or not. It's not, maybe it's supposed to get on your nerves. You know what I'm saying? It's acting.
All right. I understand that. It did get on my nerves. I agree with you there, Professor Hawking. You got any others? Any others?
Well, he said
anything
he didn't like the movie.
Adam Sandler or with Tom Cruise, he is so over the top gay to me, like the guy from the Brady Bunch. Ha ha ha, and Adam Sandler is so dopey, Jesus H. Christ, give me an effing break.
All right.
I got this weird suspicion that all the movies that you fucking hate are going to be the same ones that Stephen Hawking fucking hates.
He's not a big fan of...
It's amazing how the two of you think so much alike.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing.
We're like brothers.
Like brothers, yeah.
Dadabia is so incompetent. What a chimp. It is a true American tragedy.
Right on. Right on. All right, well, he's got to get going pretty soon. Are we going to take him in the time machine?
Sure. Whatever you want.
Are you okay, man? We had the great Stephen Hawking in. The great.
Yeah. 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 The great Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
So, what are we doing?
Do you want to go back in the time machine?
Hey, whatever you want, man.
Tetanus. Tetanus. Ha ha.
Whatever you want, man.
We don't have to. We can kick him out now.
No, it's fine.
We got it all set up?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let me try to get his wheelchair in here.
See if you can get his wheelchair. I'm gonna have to push it in the other side.
I'm going to have to fold it with him in it.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Are you comfortable in the back seat?
Shut up, you fucktards, ha ha ha.
Well, now he's just getting belligerent.
You motherfucker!
All right, now this is a destination that Stephen Hawking wanted us to go to. Where are we going again, John?
John Wayne.
Oh, right. Because it's Oscar night tonight.
Yeah.
And so we're going to go back to the Academy Awards. What was this, 40 years ago?
Yeah. Here we go. Hold on.
All right.
What was that?
This locks my cock.
Wow.
This locks his cock? What?
I think what, he said rocks.
Oh, this rocks. This rocks my cock.
Whoa. That's great. Well, you know, Stephen Hawking was zero gravity not too long ago. I think we talked about that
right.
Last show. Yeah. How does this compare to zero gravity?
Awesome.
Okay, he's
awesome.
You motherfucker!
What the fuck was that?
Awesome, totally awesome.
Totally talk awesome?
And he looks pretty giddy.
Yeah. Gay?
Giddy. Not gay, giddy. Alright, let's make our way. Hawkins.
He sounds gay the way he wants to make love to you throughout the whole show. He'll probably have to use a strap-on, though.
I love you, John.
Yeah, right.
I love you, John.
That is one big pile of shit.
All right, so where are we going?
I think we need to head over to that building over there.
Oh,
I hope we didn't miss it.
I love you, John, too.
Yeah, push his chair. Right down those stairs there. All right, here we are. Look at that. Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we are.
Let's open the door.
All right. Looking in.
Oh, yeah, look at there's Jordan.
I'm not trying to talk for clapping.
Shh, quiet.
I'm trying to talk for you guys. You better start thinking. It's getting to be goddamn ridiculous. If you guys don't start thinking as men, we're going to have a lousy country. Jesus, I have had the chance to be with guys who are with things and against things. And, you know, Christ, you try as I try as a human being to listen to both sides of everything. But there's no both sides anymore. They're just trying to wreck our goddamn country. It's time for you younger guys to take over. I don't know what the hell.
All right, let's just walk back over to Time Machine.
Let's get out of here. John Wayne
bitching about the country. All right, push. Steven, do you like that? We're back over at the Time Machine.
Yes, I like it a lot.
What the hell is that? You imitating it?
What?
What are you trying to imitate him now? Oh, that's real cool. Steven, what the fuck?
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
That's blasphemy.
Let's get back. Oh, man, I got a headache. Oh. Let's get back in the car.
I did a lot. Shit. All right, let's get back in this fucking thing, man. Push him in.
Get in, motherfucker. All right.
Belt him in.
No,
just like, yeah. That's all right. He's going to float around. Yeah, he's not going to feel anything anyway if we hit a tree.
Right on. We're going to feel it, not him.
Right. Yeah, what if we hit a star cluster or something? Or
whoa.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing about space-time, you know?
Yeah.
You could run right through a building.
You
could. You do it just right.
Right on.
Let me get this fucker started.
That's brilliant, John.
What are you doing, man?
That's brilliant.
What are you doing?
That wasn't me. That was talking.
That sounds just like him.
That's brilliant, John.
Is Stephen Hawking got your tongue or what?
Yeah,
what's
he's
going
got
on
my tongue.
There?
I don't know.
Is he giving you lip service?
Leave enough room for my fist, cause I am going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine. Thanks for having me on.
That's good, Scott. Still doing his voice. Thanks for having me. I'm going to ram my fist in your stomach.
And break your goddamn spine.
It's good, man. Let's get this thing going, man.
Tap.
You get Steven to push this fucking thing, would you?
What is that anus?
That anus.
All right. Pump it.
Of all the places to go, he wants to go see John Wayne.
Oh, here we go.
You all right there, Steven?
Hold on. His equipment.
Is he okay, man? Oh, yeah, he's a little fucked up, man. He's got like a wheel shoved right in his back.
He doesn't feel it.
I am okay. Always a pleasure. I am a big fan of TT.
TT?
TT. He's a big fan of TT. Like, TT. What are you saying?
Spit it out, man. Blink
Spit
faster.
Always a pleasure. I am a big fan of TTN. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. You know, he's like over 60. Did you know that, John?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
How about it?
How about that?
How about it?
How about that?
Let's see if he has any last words before I push him back upstairs.
I ain't stupid or nothing. I got what you might call a relaxed Blaine.
Oh, see, he's a fan of the show.
Blaine.
A relaxed Blaine.
That's out of sight.
It is out of sight. All right.
Push him over there, would you?
Do you want me to play a song? while we take a break and I get them out of here?
Yeah.
All right. So pick one from practice.
Surrender?
Yeah, sure. That's a nice long one.
Should we do Surrender?
Yeah, we can take a nice long break.
A nice long break? You want to take a nap, too? Or
sure,
or
we could. Why not?
All right. All right. Here's our practice of the 31st. It was, wasn't it?
I believe so.
January 31st. Here it is.
How's it go? Are you drunk, man? No.
No way, man.
The drunken drummer beat.
I'm drunk on happiness.
Gentlemen, a kangaroo court practicing surrender.
And we're back.
And we're back with John and Scott. Toes on Scott, 121.
Without the great Stephen Hawking, who has quite the entourage, John.
Yeah, right.
I think the guy should get some new equipment, really.
Yeah.
I mean, that was subpar. I mean, that was really a challenge for you.
It was. I don't think it was DOS at all. I think it was the old punch cards.
The old punch card computer. So he blinks and then he has an assistant. Punch it in.
And then run it through.
All right, Oscars tonight, John.
Oscars.
Talking about the Oscars, which we're not watching.
Right.
But here's 10 films. I don't have my list. I'll have it next week. My top 10 worst movies. John already has his list.
Yeah.
Do you have audio, too?
No.
Okay, I'm going to get audio.
Top 10 movies I fucking hate.
Yeah,
I'm going to get audio, too.
Top 10 movies I fucking hate. Here's top 10
now,
films.
I might have to change my list then.
The top 10 films that should have won an Oscar. Are you ready? Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Without
the Sixth Sense.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You think so? No way.
That's number two on the list. Fight Club?
Maybe, yeah. That was a pretty good goddamn movie.
I liked it.
That was a movie. I mean, that was something you could say. Now that's a movie,
you know. That's $15 well spent.
That's film,
right?
15.
You know, after popcorn and condoms and shit like that.
Condoms.
Number four, Blade Runner.
Oh yeah,
Blade Runner.
I just bought the new one, man.
Oh, there's so many goddamn versions of that.
I got them all.
Tied for fifth. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh yeah,
and The Great Escape. Great Escape. Was that with...
Yeah, that was good.
Steve McQueen?
Steve McQueen, man. A lot of good motorcycle riding.
Tied for seventh, Taxi Driver and Alfred Hitchcock Psycho.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Neither of them, huh?
Nope.
Did
Number
they even
nine,
get a nod?
I think they were nominated. They did not win. Number nine. Singing in the Rain. Always a fun movie, John.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Kelly, he was a real man, right?
Yeah.
He was not like those
those
guys running around in West Side Story.
None of them faggy dancers.
I'll tell you that. That Gene Kelly was all man.
Yeah, he'd say, hey, I didn't know faggot school had the day off. Jets my ass. Bend over, I got a jet for you.
On number 10, a Stanley Kubrick film, Dr. Strangelove.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, you should check it out. It's pretty good. With Peter Sellers and George C. Scott.
Wow, yeah. If it's Kubrick, it's got to be good. Well, except for Eyes Wide Shut. I don't know about that.
Yeah, that was... Well, 2001.
That was great.
Did Kubrick do Clockwork Orange?
Yes.
Yes. That's another good one. All right, then, Johnny. So next week we'll have, what are we going to have? The 10 worst movies?
10 movies.
Or the movies
we
fucking
hate.
There you go. 10 movies.
So I'm going to have to change my list a little bit. Because there's some that didn't make it on the list that I fucking hated, but I didn't think they were the worst movie.
But you hated them.
I fucking hated them.
Well, let's go with effing hating.
Right.
Hating movies that we effing hate.
10 movies we fucking hate.
Like Gymkhana. That's a bad movie.
No, that's a great movie.
But
see, I didn't fucking hate that
it's
one.
It's so bad that it's good.
Right.
But when you talk about worst movies, that could make your worst movie list.
You know, we should have talked about this with Cousin Dan, because he said when he was in college, he had a Gymkhana movie poster in his dorm room.
Oh, that is sweet.
That is sweet. Was it Kurt Thomas or something in that movie?
I think so, yeah. Kurt Thomas.
Kurt Thomas doing the Kurt Thomas flair.
Thomas Flair to kick guys' asses, man. Gymkhana.
Gymkhana.
And when he's in the alley and there's a high bar,
happens to be there. Right. Whoa!
And it's all chalked up for him.
Yeah, what do you know about that? I saw that in the theater. So,
so did I.
You know, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
For our younger fans, you got to check out Gymkhana because you probably never heard of it.
It's combination it's gymnastics, kung fu.
It's the worst.
It's good.
Best.
It's so bad. It's good. All right. So I'll have my list next week. I got a quick stupid story, John.
Ah.
And you were a part of this stupid story.
Oh, great.
So I'm at work, and I'm on this web conference. So what it is you log in, and you somebody controls a web presentation. And there's like 80 people, and they're looking at this web presentation. But in a part of it is you have to dial a number, enter a passcode, and now you can hear the audio from who's ever giving the presentation. So there's like 80 people on this phone line listening to this presentation that we're viewing on our computers. And John gives me a call.
Hello.
So, of course, I put this web conference on hold. and I'm talking to John. What were we talking about? 4 minutes? Four or five minutes?
Yeah.
What were you calling me about?
I don't know. The gig or something. Either the hoodies or the track gig.
So I'm on.
The hoodies.
I'm on the phone for like 4 minutes, and finally I look over on my screen, and somebody instant messaged everybody and said, whoever picked up the phone and put the conference on hold, please hang up because we can't hear the conference. All we hear is hold music.
The girl from Ipanema is calling.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, shit. Hey, man, I got to go. I got to go. Click.
Oh, my
click.
God. Click. Yeah, we're jamming out to the girl from Ipanema.
But fortunately, nobody could tell that it was me.
Doot.
And then Friday, we had somebody brought some food in from Portillo's.
Yeah.
Which I like Portillo's, right?
Yeah.
So for some reason, I decided to try their Italian sausage.
Ooh.
So I cut it up. I eat the Italian sausage. Within an hour, I am blowing the worst ass. You know, so I run. I'm at work. I go into, and there's nobody in the bathroom. This is great because I'm about to explode. You know what I'm saying,
yeah.
John? So I get all ready, and I'm about to blow, and somebody walks in. So I got to clamp it shut,
you know, because
it's going to be one of these explosions where it splatters the water and, makes all this.
It makes stucco on the inside of the bowl.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I got to clamp it shut, which was really difficult. Really, really difficult. So
which one of the Beverly Hillbillies was that?
Clamp it shut.
Yeah, ass clamp it.
Ass clamp it shut. So what I did is the person went to the urinal, and when they walk away, it's electric eye, and then it automatically flushes.
Yeah.
So they walked away, and I'm waiting for it to flush because I'm going to blow right when it flushes and then flush my toilet at the same time.
Yeah.
And there was a little hesitation there, but I timed it perfectly. But then I'm going four times in 40 minutes. I have to leave my office and walk to the bathroom. So then I said, you know, it's just not worth it. I'm getting really messy back there. I know I got to start thinking at some point. I mean, you can't clean that stuff up well enough.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So I called it a day. I went home. I said, hey.
Oh, you big baby.
I had the ability to work from home, and my home office is about 10 feet from the bathroom. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I got home. I took a shower, and I took a nap.
You got to suck it up, man.
Yeah, I couldn't suck it up. No way. Yeah, it was like this. It was brutal. Brutal.
Oh.
All right, John, we have another clip. Jane Fonda was on, what was she on, the Today Show?
Yeah.
On NBC?
Yeah.
Do you have that clip?
Are you still having problems, dude? Can you tone it down a little? Trying to do a show here.
Oh, yeah, and right when I left the bathroom the first time,
yeah,
one of the colleagues that I work with was walking in, and I so wanted to tell him, you need to go to the second floor.
Yeah, dude.
But I didn't, so I let him walk right into it. No, it was not.
Oh, no, it's not a co-ed bathroom.
It's not a co-ed bathroom.
Yeah, I have the Jane Fonda clip right here.
Well, let's hear that. This is Jane Fonda.
Amazing. And I know when it started, there were some A-list celebrities who came out to help you. But, Jane, you at first were not a big fan of the play. So what turned you around?
Well, it wasn't that I wasn't a big fan. I hadn't seen the play. I live in Georgia, okay? I was asked to do a monologue called Cunt. And I said, I don't think so. I got enough problems.
But then you were invited to go see it.
Yes, then I
was. She was talking about the vagina monologues.
Why did she say that, though? A monologue called Cunt. Why
don't
she just say the vagina monologues?
Well, maybe that's
the vajay.
She's trying to be funny. I don't know.
That is not funny.
I don't.
What woman?
Then why are we playing it?
What woman finds that word funny? Cunt.
None.
No, none of them. Wait, I know it's Paulie.
Keep it quiet, dude. My wife is very sensitive to that word, and I don't know why.
I know it's one of Paulie B's favorite words.
Yeah,
but you can't say that to an American woman.
Bullocks.
They don't like it.
No.
They don't like it at all.
I don't know why. I don't understand.
Well, it's no big deal. So she goes on the Today's Show. She says this.
The Today's Show.
And here's what the Parent Television Council had to say about it.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You got to tell me when we're going to play a fucking clip, man. I don't have them like all lined up.
What clip? There's no clip.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I'm. I'm going to tell you.
You got me all worked
the
up here.
Television Council.
Well, you gave
is
me like
say.
7,000 clips, and I'm thinking, oh shit, I don't have this one lined up.
They called on NBC to change its broadcasting practices in response to the unedited airing of Cunt.
Oh fuck them.
Spoken by Jane Fonda. There's no excuse for airing one of the most patently offensive words in our English language.
Our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
There's that phrase, patently offensive.
Patently.
There it is right there. Patently offensive.
Patently.
If an NBC employee used the cunt to another employee, that
what?
Employee would be suspended or even fired.
Did they say the cunt?
While NBC's apology is helpful, it is not enough, John. Millions of families were indeed offended. NBC must change its broadcasting
millions?
Practices.
How do they know?
Implement a time delay on all of its live broadcasts, thereby ensuring that this type of language does not air on the public-owned airwaves.
How do they know millions of families?
I guess they got Nielsen stats.
Oh, right.
The networks can no longer claim to be surprised by this now routine conduct. It is now something they must anticipate. Just a few weeks ago, ABC's Good Morning America allowed the fuck word to slip out unbleeped. How many times
what?
Does this have to happen before expletives are no longer fleeting, John? Advertisers who paid for this morning's Today Show should demand and be issued a complete refund.
Oh, my God.
We also asked two federal court judges in New York whether they are proud of the legacy they have ensured for themselves by paving the way for material like this to come into our homes. There
That's
you have it.
Goddamn ridiculous.
Hopefully, American families will let them have the final word and that Congress will move quickly to vote on a bill pending before the Senate, which would clarify the FCC's authority to deal with this growing problem.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, they
That's
really
a bunch of shit.
Get their panties in a bunch.
No doubt.
Television Council. That is out of sight. Oh, John, I did see a movie.
What'd you see?
I saw, now this is a Netflix movie, and I remember seeing this 25 years ago on WGN, Channel 9, the superstation.
Or as Alfie would say, Nexflix.
Casablanca. Have you ever seen this movie?
Long time ago.
You got to see it again.
Yeah?
Yeah,
why?
It's a good movie. It's great. Well, it's 8.8 on IMDb. It's number 9 all time on IMDb. But all these other, the American Film Institute has it rated number 3. Entertainment Weekly has it number 3. American Film Institute, which I just said, I guess they moved it up to number 2.
Yeah.
Really great movie. And to see it on DVD, it was really nice and clear, not like a WGN broadcast.
Yeah, right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? But guess what Humphrey Bogart's name is in the movie? Remember what his name?
No.
Rick. He Rick. Owns Rick's. You know what his last name is?
No.
Belaine.
Rick.
Rick
Belaine.
Belaine. Dick Belaine.
Dick Belaine.
Of course, the great Ingrid Bergman is in this movie.
I thought it was Katherine Hepburn.
No, no, no. Not Katherine Hepburn, no. Ingrid Bergman. And if you ask me, Claude Rains stole the show. I thought his performance was great. Humphrey Bogart, he's just so weird. I don't know if it's because he's an American icon. It's weird watching him. Because you're always thinking, not of his character Rick, but of Humphrey Bogart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the one thing that I didn't like in this movie, and here's a kind of a little spoiler. You know the story, right?
Do I have to refresh your memory? I have not seen this movie.
You have never seen Casablanca?
No, I'm thinking of the other fucking, The Bridge Over River Kwai.
Oh, right. Right.
That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry. Yeah. No, I have not seen it.
Oh, you got to check it out, man. Casablanca is kick ass. But there's one part in the middle of the movie. So Ingrid Bergman and Humphrey Bogart have like this whirlwind affair in Paris, right?
Yeah.
And then she shows up back in his life after pretty much ditching him. But the one thing that really bugged me about this movie is instead of being a man about it, and he's a man through the whole movie, except for this one scene. He starts drinking and crying. and the other, it's kind of the other creepy thing is, I don't know how old he was when he made this movie. He's supposed to be 37
well,
years old.
What's the famous line? There's some famous
lines. Oh, there's
line
a lot of
he
famous
says.
Lines. He's supposed to be 37 years old. The guy
Play
looks
it again,
like he's
Sam
60.
Or some shit like that.
He looks like he's 60.
Yeah.
And she looks like she's 22. So that's kind of creepy. One of the lines, one of the immortal lines is, here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah.
He says this three times in the movie, and every time he says it, it creeped me out.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah, because he's 60 and she's like 22.
I'm fucking 60 and here's looking at you, kid. Let me see your beaver.
The movie line, I stick my neck out for nobody. Was voted number 42 of the greatest lines.
I don't break my word for nobody.
Of all of the gin joints in the world, she walks into mine was ranked number 30. let's see. The line, Lewis, I think this is the beginning of something of... I can't even read these lines. Lewis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship was voted number 20 of all time. Round up the usual suspects, number 32 of all time. And we'll always have Paris, was voted number 43.
But it's never, they never say it right, the play it again, Sam.
Right.
It's not right.
That is not right.
It's something different, right?
Yeah. He's actually angry when he tells Sam to play it again. He's like, you played it for her, you can play it for me.
It's not play it again, Sam.
No, he's angry.
Play it again, Sam. Here's looking at you, kid. Whoa.
Here's some trivia. Because the film was made during World War II, they were not allowed to film at an airport for security reasons. Instead, they used a soundstage with a small cardboard cutout airplane and forced perspective. To give the illusion that the plane was full size, they used little people to portray the crew preparing the plane for takeoff.
Are you serious?
But guess what? They also did this years later. The same technique was used in the film Alien with director Ridley Scott's son.
Really?
And some of his friends in a scaled-down spacesuits. Yeah, to give perspective.
Oh, wow. Did it give you perspective?
I guess. I didn't even notice they were little people.
You didn't see, like, their ginormous heads?
You could tell the plane's kind of like a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
I think you're so focused on that you don't notice the little people. But the next time I watch,
Because their heads are fucking ginormous, man.
I don't know.
Little
don't
tiny
know.
Bodies.
But Claude Rains, to me, as Captain Renault, stole the movie. I thought he was great. And get this, he had a line.
He stole it?
He stole it.
He stole the movie.
Did I say that?
I don't know. It sounded like he stole the movie.
He had this line. The original line was, you like war, I like women. And they had to change that to, you enjoy war, I enjoy women. in order to meet decency standards.
What?
Can you believe that?
Oh, my God. So they had the family shithole back then?
Yeah. Yeah. They the parent television council or whoever.
The PT's fuck-ups.
Bogart and Bergman.
Jesus.
Thought the dialogue was ridiculous and the situations were unbelievable, and they actually tried to get out of the movie.
Really?
Yeah. But you got to check that out, man. That's a good one.
Yeah. I've never seen it. I'm thinking it's The Bridge Over River Kwai.
All right, John, moving on to...
Golden Pond, you poop.
On celebrity news.
Celebrity.
I have a celebrity quiz for you. What celebrity said this on Larry King? Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's been 2 years since I've had sex, and I'm getting to miss that. What celebrity told Larry King?
The lead singer from Weezer.
No, Kathleen Turner.
Oh, no. Yeah, have you seen her lately?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I can't believe she's not having sex.
I mean, arguably one of the most attractive
with a wildebeest
women of all time. I especially like
what happened
in The Man with Two Brains with Steve Martin and also in Body Heat. But yeah, I don't know what the hell happened to her.
I thought she was pretty hot in Roger Rabbit.
Was she in that?
Was that her?
That was a cartoon, man.
Oh.
She was in the one with Michael Douglas. It's kind of Indiana Jones ripoff. What was that?
Oh, yeah.
Where she was a novelist.
Jewel of the Nile was the second one, but the first one was what the fuck was it? God damn it. It wasn't Jewel of the Nile, but there was one before it.
One before it. Another celebrity news, John. Lindsay Lohan, I'm sure you've heard this, was thrilled to strip for Monroe photos. We actually had a couple of posts on the forum about this. Lindsay Lohan jumped at the chance to follow in the footsteps of her idol, Marilyn Monroe. Don't you think that's a problem right there?
Yeah.
And strip naked for legendary photographer Bert Stern.
Have you seen the spread?
I've seen just images on the web. I haven't seen the whole spread.
I've seen the whole spread.
You have? Do you have the magazine?
No. They have an online spread. They have one on the New York Magazine website.
So what do you think?
Well, you know, at first I was like, wow, there's a lot of freckles there.
Yeah, a lot of freckles.
But then when I saw the Marilyn Monroe one, I was like, oh, my God. Marilyn Monroe's got some weird-looking boobs, man.
Does she?
Oh, yeah. You could see the Marilyn, if you type in the, I think it's called
I'll have to check
that
out.
The Last Sitting or something.
Yeah, I only looked, the one photo I saw was of Marilyn Monroe on her belly. That was the only one.
It's called, I think, The Last Sitting, and there's all these shots of her, except in the Lindsay Lohan one, she's not wearing any panties of any sort.
Oh, I see.
And Marilyn Monroe is, except when she's laying on her belly. But there's some shots there where Lohan looks fucking terrible, man.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. And I don't know whose goddamn idea was this. somebody's got to rein her in. And we keep saying that. Give us a goddamn call.
She's looking worked over, man.
And Marilyn Monroe, even though Marilyn Monroe died like a month later, and at this point, during these photographs, she was probably as high as a goddamn kite. She's still, it's Marilyn Monroe. That's an American icon. And you can't, why even compete with that?
Yeah. But she did it all the same.
Yeah, she did it all the same. I thought the wig looked horrible.
Same lighting.
I thought she looked not good. And why are you giving up the goods already? What is she, 21?
Yeah.
22? Monroe did that in her 30s.
Some nice looking goods, though.
I don't know. It just looked... and Marilyn Monroe was, you know, she had her own issues. But yeah. Compared to Marilyn Monroe, Lindsay Lohan looks dirty.
No, wait till you see the Marilyn Monroe picture. Some of them are really bad.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen all of them.
Yeah, you can type... I think the name of it is The Last Sitting. You could type it in on Google. It is. It's The Last Sitting. And there's like a flicker spread of every shot, even the ones that the photographer put the big red X's through. And there's some that just looks terrible.
Here's what
just as terrible.
Lohan had to say about it. I was comfortable with it, the nudity. I didn't have to put too much thought into it.
Really?
I mean, Bert Stern doing Marilyn's shoot? When is that ever going to come up again? It's really an honor. If you saw my house, I have a lot of Marilyn stuff. Well, that's a problem right there, having Marilyn Monroe being one of your idols. I'll have to check out those photos, though. We'll try to get those up on the forum.
Yeah.
And put a poll up there, a poll, John. On the forum. Also in celebrity news, the Jonas Brothers. You're familiar with them, John?
Oh, I've heard of them.
Of course, because we are covering one of the Jonas Brothers songs, which is actually a cover of an 80s song.
Right.
What is that called? Kids of the Future?
Yeah.
We'll be in the studio on Wednesday doing that.
Go ahead, man.
So, the Jonas Brothers... Here's what they did, John. The teen pop sensations have taken a vow of chastity.
What?
Publicly.
What, are they gay?
Publicly.
Publicly?
That's right. Kevin, Nick, and Joe are boldly and admirably proclaiming that they plan to stay virgins until marriage. Kevin, Joe, and Nick Jonas, the teen pop trio who stand at this very moment on the brink of hugeness.
Huge.
Wear the metal bands on their fingers to symbolize, as Joe puts it, promises to ourselves and to God that we'll stay pure till marriage. What is wrong with them? Somebody needs to have them give us a call. We can manage their career, too.
Jesus.
Don't these purity things not work?
It's wasted.
How can they possibly work on these guys?
It's wasted on the Ute, Scott.
It's wasted on the Ute, Johnny.
Unbelievable. These fucking punks.
No, I'm not. What are these, teenagers, these kids?
Yeah, teeny boppers.
I'm not a teenager anymore, John. But if I were a teenager and it was in the situation they were in,
yeah,
how could you not?
Oh, no, right.
Partake.
You can't help it. You automatically have the scent of the bush.
It's got to be thrown at them 24/7.
The plus bush. That natural, you know, inclination to smell the bush.
And didn't Britney
right
Spears
there.
Do the same crap? Didn't she do this? Yeah, I'm not going to do
y'all.
That until I'm married.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all, I'm not going to do that till I'm married, y'all.
Whore she turned out to be.
Yeah. Cooler.
Well, hey, I'm pulling for these guys. I'm pulling.
You sure are. You're pulling, all right. You're pulling.
But I don't think it can end well. How could this possibly end well?
Not too well.
Didn't they say?
What do you mean end well? The worst thing that could happen is they get laid.
Right.
How could that be bad?
Either
success means they don't get laid.
Either they're gay.
And that's cool. Or they get laid and,
we fucked up. You know, I'm going to do it again.
I got to check and see if it was okay. Let me do it one more time. Yeah.
But we've done studies on, not studies, we haven't done studies.
We've talked about studies
where these kids who take these vows of chastity, like 99% of them.
Work.
Fail.
They fail.
And the other 1% cut their dicks off.
That's that whole, what do you call it? What do they call it? Abstinence only. It's a bunch of shit. They found that's a bunch of shit.
Here's some good celebrity news. I don't know if you've heard this. Spelling. Tori Spelling.
Yeah.
She's going to write her memoirs, John.
Oh, that's out of sight.
Hollywood star Tori Spelling has started to work on a tell-all memoir in a bid to set the events of her life straight.
You saying I got no brains?
Does anybody really care about that?
Not me.
Anybody at all?
No.
All right, John, I gave you one more clip to wrap up celebrity news. This is Miley Cyrus. This is Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter, Miley Cyrus, also known as Hannah Montana. She was on Barbara Walters, John. Barbara Walters.
Barbara.
And she's only 15 years old.
She was on there just today.
Was it today?
You got that today, man?
Yeah, I got it today. Hey, I know my shit, man.
Because Harrison Ford was on there today, too.
So she's 15. The one thing admirable is she can actually speak. When I was 15, I probably couldn't get a goddamn sentence out. But you got to listen to how she responds to Barbara's question here. So go ahead and whenever you're ready, play that clip.
All right. Let's cue up some Miley just for the clip.
Miley, you're living here in California. You're 15 years old. You pick up the papers and every day practically you read about another young stars, some of whom were Disney stars. How can you be certain that what happened to Britney and Lindsay and Jamie Lynn Spears won't happen to you? What will be the difference?
For me, as I know that some people don't have a family to fall back on like I have, and that's when something greater than even that comes in, and that's faith, and that's what I have. For me, is that's what keeps me strong. And I think a lot of these people, you know, do have Christian families, and they're just, you know, not seeing that they're so much greater than the materialistic things that are there right now, like, you know, going out in the parties and whatever. But the people that are the ones you want to hold on to are the people that tell you the truth, and that's your family that sometimes, you know, can be a little bit harsh and can, you know, say things that have to be honest, and that can hurt sometimes.
Okay, she's going right down the same path as Britney. And...
Well, the thing is, if you saw this clip... She's saying all this stuff, and I feel dirty saying this, but she's dressed like a goddamn whore. She has these purple boots up to her knee, this mini skirt, and some sort of top on. She looks like she should be cast for Pretty Woman or something. She's a goddamn whore.
Well, Rick said in this song here, he knows exactly when she shakes her boobs, her little stuff she shouldn't be shaking yet. Because she ain't old enough.
You know, I think we should probably take this all out in post. I don't feel comfortable talking about a 15-year-old.
Why not?
I just don't.
Our daughters are going to be 15 one day, and we're going to have the same fucking conversation.
Yeah, I guess
right.
They are putting her out.
They're putting her out there.
Billy Ray Cyrus is putting her out there. And I think she's probably made enough money to retire by age 16. So it'll be interesting.
And I'm not saying he's wrong. I mean, he's starting her on Disney and everything. But what we are saying is that having all these kids started in the Disney world, Britney was a Mouseketeer.
Christina Aguilera.
Justin Timberlake. You know, what the fuck,
Oh,
man?
You know who else? Ryan Gosling.
Right. Who the fuck is that?
He's an actor.
Oh.
Didn't you see
and
the
you
Notebook?
You know, sometimes they work out and stuff, but this whole faith in God thing is a complete bunch of shit. That's not going to make you choose the right path. That's going to put too much pressure on you.
You think so?
I think the part about family is probably the best thing she said at all.
Yeah, but the thing is, God trumped the family.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. That puts way more pressure. The fact that it's family only, the dad, mom, whatever, that's really the only place that it's going to square you away. Lindsay, on the other hand, she's got the mom and dad issue there. The dad's a complete fucking whack job. There's no support there. And I think Billy Ray's probably doing a decent job, don't you? He's there right on that show, making sure she's fucking doing her homework. Right on the show, even.
Right. Well, they star together in the show.
So if you're going to be a dad of a star, You want to be the dad who is on the show.
Well, here's the, if I'm a Billy Ray Cyrus and my daughter is going on goddamn Barbara Walters, I'm going to have her put some fucking clothes on.
Yeah.
I mean, that was goddamn ridiculous.
Re-goddamn-diculous, Scott.
What did I say?
Goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah, it was re-goddamn-diculous.
But we're
going to
have the same shit going on with our daughters. You know what I'm saying? And 15 is the age, dude.
Well,
where that shit all starts, and I know.
I understand. But at some point, like, for example, does she make more than her dad now? So she gets to tell him, hey, I can do whatever I want. I make more than you. I mean, does that happen? I mean, how does her dad let her go on that show wearing what she wore? It's awful.
I don't know. I didn't see it. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking the same thing, you know. My daughter is wearing clothes like it's fucking 90 degrees out all the time. And I say to the wife, well, what the hell is she? Why is she wearing this T-shirt, this really tight T-shirt with no sleeves? And it's 30 below outside. I don't know. I keep telling her, you shouldn't be wearing that. And it's not like it's risque or anything, but she's getting that mentality that this is the kind of style that she should be wearing all the time. So as she gets older, to that age, impressionable age of Miley Cyrus or whatever, she's going to start wearing that other shit because it's fashionable and it's, you know, it's rebellion.
Rebellion. How do we get them to wear like turtlenecks and shit to
you
be
don't,
rebellious?
Man. You don't. That's a tough.
I mean,
part
do
about
I have to start
dad.
Walking around in a thong? One of those.
I'm gonna wear this if you're gonna wear that.
One of those Borat swimsuits. Borat.
Embarrass them.
Yeah, I'll start walking
Jesus
around the house
Christ.
Like that.
I'm gonna throw up.
Then to be rebellious, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We know somebody who has Zach's wife's niece.
Yes.
Her name's also Brittany.
Right on.
And I told you that her wife, Brittany's mom, married her dad, which was an ex-football player.
Right.
And I just heard a story, and Brittany's what? She's in high school. She's 16 or something. And she's going to this girl's choice dance or whatever recently. And she talked to her mom, and her mom said, hey, yeah. And see, this is the thing. The mom's, she colluded. Is it collusion?
Colluded. She what?
It
Say
is.
What?
It's
she
colluded.
Colluded?
Isn't it collusion? What is it? What are you laughing at?
I have no idea what you're trying to say. Colluded?
Yeah.
Colluded.
Yeah, like collusion. Does she know what collusion means?
I've never heard it said.
Colluded?
Colluded.
Yeah. Colluded. I believe it's colluded. Anyways.
It better be. Or we're going to be playing this clip next week.
TTN correction. Colluded. It is colluded with her mom. And her mom said, here's what you do. You wear this dress when you leave the house. You put this other thing in your purse, and then when you get to your friend's house, you change into the other thing. And then dad, she pops out, look, dad, this is what I'm wearing. Okay, yeah, that's great. That looks nice. Now put on what you are really going to wear when you leave this house. So he already knew the jig was up. He already knew what the fuck was going down.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Dude, man, it's just rude. Anyways,
you said it, man.
I didn't say it like that. He knew the jig was up.
Right.
That, yeah, she was going to do the switch-o, change-o, but the mom colluded with the daughter. Was in collusion with the daughter.
There you go.
Yeah. So that same shit we're going to have a challenge with our daughter. So,
yeah, great.
I don't really think there's a whole lot of shit Billy Ray can do.
I think that he, at a minimum, he could say, you can't wear that on Barbara Walters.
And what is she going to say? Yeah? Fucking stop me, old man. You had one fucking song with that stupid-ass mullet of yours. Look at me.
I don't know.
I am two people. I'm Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, she gets to have two careers.
I have the best of both worlds. You've had one.
Right on. The best of both worlds.
So I don't think we need to take that out in post because I don't think we're being any... we're not...
Maybe we could comment when she's of age.
We're talking as dads, I think, in this sense because that's... To me, it seems like our kids love this shit too. I mean, she's great in that show because you've watched the show, right?
Hannah and it has Montana. Good moral messages.
It has good moral messages and all that stuff. But you could see that there's going to be some stuff going on in the future.
The future is a joke.
Very similar, possibly to like a Britney or whatever. And I think Barbara was kind of touching on that. Even though she said. How do you manage to do it? Well, they asked fucking Britney the same thing. You said it yourself. They asked Britney the same shit, and she's y'all.
I took a vow of chastity, y'all.
And then all of a sudden, she's all over the fucking internets with Ken Federline.
Yeah, I think there was a week, not a week went by when you didn't see her coos.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell is that? Oh, she's all grows up now. Now look at her. She's a fucking tramp. So,
yeah. All right, then.
Yeah, she's got to get her shit back together. Holy shit.
Who, Britney?
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible?
I don't know. She's got money, man, you know, so she should just fucking bow out of the spotlight
for a while.
I
think that's the problem.
She can't.
She has money.
Well, I mean, I think part of the problem is she's so goddamn addicted to the spotlight that she just can't get out of it.
Right.
I don't know, goddamn it.
All right, turning to science news. Get this, John. Fat, diabetic, and heart disease genes may have evolved to survive the cold. How about that?
What?
Huh?
Survive the common cold or just
no,
cold?
The cold weather.
Oh.
Researchers look for correlations between climate and genes related to energy metabolism. Result, they found them.
Oh.
Appetite, sodium retention, blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, metabolic rate, BMI, and abdominal girth helped. Theory, climate has been an important selective pressure acting on candidate genes for common metabolic disorders. Specifically, our ancestors had to develop genetic variants that made them more efficient in terms of energy metabolism and that made them more able to cope with cold climates by increasing their ability to generate and maintain heat. Today, we eat a lot more. We don't exercise nearly as much. And these adaptations have made us cope that used to make us cope well to a cold climate now make us prone to a number of metabolic disorders. And here's where they stop short. I'm wondering if anybody said this. There's always the, hey, why did we make it and Neanderthal man did not?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that's why. Maybe they never had these mutated natural selection that allowed us to survive the cold weather.
Right.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they were too lean. You know what I'm saying, John? Too lean.
Right, too skinny.
And maybe that's why we're here and Neanderthal man is not. How about that, huh?
I know.
There's a thesis right there. I'm surprised.
Scott's thesis number 17.
Right. I'm surprised we don't have more college listeners, John.
Right.
Just listening to one show, how many thesis ideas do you get?
Theses.
Theses.
Right.
Get this, John. The Florida Board of Education voted, guess what, 4-3 in favor of adopting new state science education standards.
What does that mean?
For the first time, the new standards include the word evolution, calling it a foundation of modern biology and one of the big ideas that students need to understand for a well-grounded science education. So that's the good news.
Yeah.
Before this, evolution was never mentioned in a textbook in Florida. Can you believe that?
No.
It will take
Jeb Bush.
It will take 3 to 4 years to implement the new standards.
Wow.
So if you're a freshman in Florida right now, you're not going to hear about it. You're not going to hear about evolution until after you graduate and go to college.
Unbelievable.
That's so goddamn backwards. It's unbelievable to me.
It's unbelievable.
And then the last... Is this the last? No, I have 2 science stories left. College students cheat more when they're indoctrinated against free will, according to 2 experiments. Now, stay with me, John. First experiment, students took a math test on which they thought cheating was undetectable. Some, but not others, were told that science disproves the notion of free will and that the illusion of free will was a mere artifact of the brain's biochemistry. The results: exposure to the deterministic message increased cheating. Students with lower confidence in free will cheated more than those with higher confidence.
What do you mean?
So they did this study and they told the kids, hey, you know what? Free will, it doesn't
even
exist.
Yeah, break it down for me.
It doesn't exist.
Right.
You do not have free will. It's an illusion. And then they tested them. And they found that the students who bought into the idea that free will is an illusion cheated more than the students that were like, yeah, fuck you, free will, it's not an illusion. I have free will. I have free will to make my own decisions.
I can choose to cheat or not. So you're saying if they're predestined, if they find out that their destiny is already written out...
Well, that they have no free will. So if you sit down, you take a test, and the urge for you to cheat comes up, and you do not believe in free will, you're going to say, hell, well, I want to cheat. I have the urge to cheat, so I'm going to cheat on this test. Because there is no free will. If I had free will, I'd have the decision not to cheat.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, if you extrapolate that now, John... There's a benefit of having religion.
Right.
The Christian religion specifically teaches us that we all have free will. God gave us...
No, that's a bunch of shit,
free
too.
Will. Well, it is a bunch of shit.
It's a bunch of shit, too, because I talk to this born-again Christian all the time, and we debate about this free will thing. And I say, okay, God gave us free will, but you believe that God has a plan. How could God have a plan if we have free will?
Right.
And then you break it down. You get into it and you say, well, if God has a plan, the plan being that you can't change anything that you're doing because you'd fuck up God's plan.
Right. So therefore, you do not have
free
will.
There's no free will.
In that case, free will is an illusion. So, yes, the Christian religion tells you you have free will, but for...
But then they talk about destiny, which is completely the opposite.
I agree. But for thinking men like you and me, John, we see the logical fallacies within the whole construct of this free will that God gives us. But for a common religious Christian person, they believe that they have free will, that God has given them free will to make choices. And because of that, maybe the society is just a little bit better.
Because if you use your free will wrongly, you will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity.
Well, I guess on the other hand, if you're an atheist like you or me, John, I already buy into the notion that I have free will to make my own choices. Right?
Right.
So, yeah. So I guess it really doesn't help at all. I take that back.
Because your own moral values will drive your decision.
Right, but where do you get those? Now, if you a lot of church-going people say you cannot have moral values because they're taught in the church. And if you don't go to church, how could you have moral values?
It doesn't make any sense at all. Because
it doesn't make any sense.
Because to me, it would be immoral to hold this carrot over somebody's head, you know, the carrot and the stick, and lead them along and say, okay, if you do good, you'll be rewarded. And if you do bad, you'll be punished.
Well, that's because you're a thinking man, John. Okay?
Yeah, I understand that. But it's... When you break that down, you say, well, what is moral? If you just say, well, the Bible is, well, it can't possibly be. Because if you're only motivated to do good things because if you don't, you're going to hell, that's ridiculous.
It's goddamn ridiculous, John.
You got to do moral things because they are good. And
do the right thing.
If there is one lesson to be learned, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
I agree.
Except, don't kill me. Or if
what,
I want
to kill somebody,
I mean, if I want to kill somebody, therefore, yeah, do unto me as I would do unto you. Yeah, no, that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No. All right, our last science story, John. This is for the ladies. All right.
Oh.
Well, it's for the guys too. A small study indicates that ultrasound can show whether a woman has a G-spot and are capable of vajay orgasms. Key finding, women with a thicker urethrovaginal space, urethrovaginal space, were more likely to experience vaginal orgasms. A scan can show whether you have a G-spot. If you don't, you can't have vaginal orgasms. This is an anatomical fact, so don't fret. There's something you should be doing to this, so don't fret that there's something.
You want Steven to come back and read that for you?
To change it. Okay, so there's nothing you could do. If you don't have one, there's nothing you can do. In fact, it's probably genetic. So don't let the evil drug industry accuse you of sexual dysfunction. However, if you have a G-spot, you might be able to make it bigger with testosterone. How about that?
Wow.
Huh?
Wow.
So it's all about structure, anatomy.
I see.
Whether you have one or not.
Yeah, genetics, man.
A thicker urethrovaginal space.
Is there a measurement?
Yeah, they can find it out doing a ultrasound.
Nice.
They can just tell you. Yeah, you got one. No, you don't.
No, you're
short.
You
have a thin urethrovaginal space. It's too thin.
Is that the distance between the opening and the and what?
I think it has something to do with the upper wall. The upper wall.
Okay, Dr. Scott.
From the inside. So if you go in and up, that's where it should be.
And later we'll be giving gynecological exams.
Gynecological. Right on, John. I'll go first.
You mean as a patient?
Yes.
Okay.
Put me in the stirrups.
In our urethras, we have a little teeny tiny vagina.
That's correct.
Hey, I are we going on to the politics?
Let's do it. Unless you want to take a break and then
do
it.
We got to wrap it up. It's
all right, let's wrap it up.
10 to 11 already.
Oh, cry eye.
Anyways, did you hear this recent thing? I don't know if you heard this recent thing. A couple things that were in the news this week. Michelle Obama said, for the first time in my adult life, I'm really proud of my country. So McCain's wife said some shit about it. And McCain this week, a newspaper article came out talking about how some staffers wanted him to distance himself from this female lobbyist because it would look bad because he's part of the Straight Talk Express.
Straight Talk
he's
Express.
He's running on the Straight Talk.
That's
that
right.
He's going to stamp out the lobbyists in
what a bunch of shit.
In the White House. Straight Talk Express. But I don't know if people, you know, and I know they didn't say anything really about it, except for some of the talkers on the radio were talking about how he was part of the Keating Five. And the Keating Five, they were part of the savings and loan scandal back when George H.W. Bush and his son, I forget what the other Bush was part of the Silverado savings and loan scandal. And Lincoln Savings and Loan, this guy, Charles Keating, he was trying to get help from the Senate so they wouldn't investigate him. He even gave McCain $112,000, probably for his, you know, campaign or the goodness of his heart, you know. And, so McCain got the smackdown. All he got was a hand slap for... Well, here it says the saddest part of the entire situation, even more sad than 21,000 mostly elderly people who had their entire life savings completely wiped out, was that it brought the appearance of conflict upon Senator McCain. As McCain said, the appearance of this was wrong. It's a wrong appearance when a group of senators appear in a meeting with a group of regulators because it conveys the impression of undue and improper influence. And what a terrible impression that can be. Almost as terrible as working your ass off your entire life, little by little, putting enough money away for retirement. And then right before retirement, finding out your life savings has been robbed from you. And instead of working to try and get your money back, your own senator is busy trying to quash the investigators.
Yeah, what a goddamn joke. I can't possibly see McCain in the White House. I just can't possibly see it. How much... okay, so Obama's going to get the nomination. I mean, that's a done deal, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
What would he have to goddamn do? How mental would he have to get for McCain to get into the White House?
Well, this is how crazy McCain is. McCain is, in fact, an asshole, Scott. An asshole who wants to be president of the United States. An asshole senator. He's the sort of guy who says things like, only an asshole would put a budget together like this. And he said it to Mexico Republican Pete Domenici. And then he said, I'm calling you a fucking jerk, to Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. And fuck you. I know more about this than anybody in the room. He said that to Texas Republican Senator John Conrad. But that's not really the so bad. This is why Senator Domenici said in 2000 that I decided I didn't want this guy anywhere near a trigger. It is presumed by this he meant the nuclear trigger. McCain is also the sort of guy who would tell the following joke. Why is Chelsea Clinton so ugly, Scott?
Why?
Because her father is Janet Reno.
I don't get it.
Because her father is Janet Reno, because she's ugly. Anyway.
Janet Reno.
This is the sort of humor assholes find funny. When he told the joke, Chelsea Clinton was 17 years old. Some say when you open an attack like this on the looks of someone who did not ask to be thrust into the public eye, you invite similar attacks in on your own direction. Accordingly, McCain's freakish-looking, over-plastic-surgeried wife, Cindy, is somewhat of a glass house, if you will. Cindy's bingus. And Cindy, she's the one who attacked Obama's wife for her little thing about the... being a proud American, or proud of the country. But her biggest claim to fame is in 1989, she developed an addiction to Percocet and Vicodin, two powerful morphine-based painkillers. In 1993, she was caught stealing Percocet from supply of the American Voluntary Medical Team, a charity she founded to provide health care and medications to war victims in underdeveloped nations.
I'm going to stick up for her. If it's a charity that she founded, how could she steal from it? She was just borrowing from her own charity.
Okay. The DEA was investigating her, and with the intervention on her well-connected parents and McCain himself, Cindy got off the hook with the usual 90-day trip to the posh rehab. The American Voluntary Medical Team folded shortly after it ceased to be a supply point for Cindy's opiate habit. See, the thing is, when you have like a founded medical charity, you're getting a tax deduction from that, Scott. So if you're fucking stealing from it, you're actually, it's illegal. Because you're getting a tax deferment from the government.
She's colluding with
She's
the IRS.
She's colluding with the IRS,
She's
right.
colluding
right.
to usurp
right.
the IRS, Jim, right. is what you're saying, bottom line.
The DEA agreed to keep Cindy's little misadventure in La La Land from the public. But then Cindy went and terminated the guy who reported her to the DEA, and the details of Cindy's sordid past as a suburban trophy wife junkie all came out when the fired guy filed a wrongful termination suit against Cindy. A few weeks after Cindy came clean about her addiction, the Variety Club canceled her Humanitarian of the Year award. Boo-hoo! Another respectable Republican mother of the Harper Valley PTA goes down. This is just a little patent place of a Republican family values, and Cindy's a Harper Valley hypocrite.
Right on, John. Right on. Speaking of GOP values, I don't know if you heard this. A Bush judicial.
A Bush judicial colluded.
Judicial nominee was picked up for a DUI, but that's not all. He was wearing a little black dress, fishnet stockings, and stiletto heels.
Oh.
So another one goes down.
Boy, does it surprise me?
You motherfucker!
Not at all.
Speaking of Bush, there's been a milestone in the English language, John. I don't know if you've heard this, but the English language is ready to exceed 1 million words.
Whoa.
1 million.
1 million.
In contrast,
words.
Spanish has about 275,000 words. French has about 100,000 words.
Wow.
So now in celebration of English about to surpass 1 million words, we're going to play some W clips.
About to usurp.
Usurp with his 50-word vocabulary, and he still manages
a computer
to fuck up the English language. So go ahead and just, you could randomly play anything that starts GWB.
Anything.
Anything.
All right.
Pick three of them, we'll play three of them.
Nobody can threaten this country. Oh, they may be able to bomb a buildings.
Bomb a buildings.
Yeah.
Today I'm pleased to announce that I have nominated an outstanding military officer. Admiral Ed Giambastiani.
Please talk about what you're reading. As you know, there was a report that you have just read the works of a French philosopher. Can you tell us the backstory of Camus?
The backstory of the book?
Well, what led you?
I was in Crawford, and I said I was looking for a book to read, and Laura said you ought to try Camus. I also read three Shakespeares.
This is a change. You
Not
just
really.
Years ago were
Wait
reading the life story of Joe DiMaggio by Richard Ben Kramer,
Which
if memory serves. You've been on a Teddy Roosevelt reading kick. You
I'm
and I discussed
that.
The last
well,
time we were
about
here.
About the Battle of New Orleans right now. I've got an eclectic reading list.
And
eclectic.
Well, that was a couple of books ago. Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Is that what everyone doesn't get?
I don't know, Brian, what they get or don't get. You know, my life. Here's the thing. The great thing about the presidency is you're totally exposed. And people spend a lot of time, particularly if you're making decisions and hard decisions, people spend a lot of time not only analyzing decisions, they analyze the decision maker. And I understand that. But a president must never let him get off. Let that get him off track.
Even if you're frustrated that we're getting something wrong.
You have to do what you think. If we're getting something wrong, we change it.
How have you been read wrong?
Oh, I don't know about read wrong. I mean, I frankly don't pay that much attention to it. I don't want to hurt people's feelings about it.
Still not watching television.
I watched a good baseball game.
Oh, my God.
Detainees, we've had thousands of people detained. We've investigated every single complaint against the detainees. It seemed like to me they based some of their decisions on the word of and the allegations by people who were held in detention, people who hate America, people that have been trained in some instances to disassemble. That means not tell the truth. So it's an absurd report.
We're working with our partners
to expand prevention efforts that emphasize abstinence, and being faithful in marriage, and using condoms correctly.
Condoms.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. Get fooled me, we can't get fooled again.
We must deal with threats before they fully materialize. That's the lesson of September the 11th. You can't see what you think is a threat and hope it goes away. You used to could when the oceans protected us. But the lesson of September the 11th is when the president sees the threat, we must deal with it before it comes to fruition.
Fruition.
Through death on our own soils, for example. See, without the tax relief package, there would have been a deficit, but there wouldn't have been the
colluded
to our economy that occurred as a result of the tax relief.
Oh my God! Holy shit!
What?
You used to coulda, John.
You used to coulda. Wait, I got another one.
Some of the other members of the crew are here as well. Where are they, Robbie? Where are the members of your crew?
What?
Well, they must have couldn't pass the security check.
Must couldn't.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos and order, but we will.
But, yeah, we will. We will restore her.
We're conscience of...
Conscience.
Of folks flying, you know, getting lists of people flying into our country and match them now with a much improved database. I would say that those who herald this decision simply do not understand the nature of the world in which we live. You might remember last week working with with people in Great Britain, we disrupted a plot. People were trying to come and kill people. This country of ours is at war, and we must give those who are whose responsibility is to protect the United States the tools necessary to protect this country in a time of war. The judge's decision was I strongly disagree with that decision. Strongly disagree. That's why I instructed the Justice Department to appeal immediately. And I believe our appeals will be upheld. I made my position clear about this war on terror. And by the way, the enemy made their position clear yet again when we were able to stop them. And the American people expect us to protect them. And therefore, I put this program in place. We strongly believe it's constitutional. And if Al-Qaeda is calling into the United States, we want to know why they're calling.
Why?
And so I made my position clear. It would be interesting to see what other policymakers, how other policymakers react. Listen, thank you all very much.
Oh, my God. I, you know, when you hear it that many times, it's brutal. It's brutal.
And the thing about it is the clips we played, that's like 1/100th of the amount of clips that we could play.
Right. Oh, man.
Oh, I got a goddamn headache. Oh. Listening to the W. All right,
hold
on.
What are we
going to
do when he's gone?
Worse than Watergate, Bush scores lowest presidential approval rating ever. Do you think it has anything to do with the clips we just played?
No, not at all.
19% approve of the way Bush is handling the job as president. 77% disapprove.
Dislaprove.
And that is the lowest ever. We have one more W clip. This is something he said just this week. Now, when you listen to this clip, think about what we're doing in Iraq. And here's what he's going to say about Africa.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here it is.
Secondly, a clear lesson I learned in the museum was that outside forces that tend to divide people up inside their country are unbelievably counterproductive.
Did you get that?
What?
Outside forces of a specific country that come in and divide people are unbelievably counterproductive.
What a dick.
So he's talking about Africa, and who knows what the hell he's talking about in Africa. Darfur, who knows? I don't know. But outside forces that come in and meddle with some other country and divide the people is unbelievably counterproductive.
Can anybody say Iraq?
Yeah, you think somebody would say, excuse me, your last statement, which was actually a complete sentence, I'm surprised. But wouldn't that correlate with Iraq? And how is it different?
Yeah. But Brian,
well,
I read Shakespeare.
I read Shakespeare. Shakespeare.
Oh, I got something here. One of the great commentators here, Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. I can't believe that guy still has a show.
Called for the lynching of, well, he didn't call for it. He made a lynching comment about Obama's wife, about Michelle Obama. And Olbermann took him to task, and O'Reilly apologized later. But in his defense, what happened? Well, Olbermann will set it up. Here it is.
All right.
On February 12th, celebrating Black History Month, President Bush said some Americans do not understand the effect that references to nooses and lynching can still have. A month earlier, Golf Channel sportscaster Kelly Thielman said that in order to have any hopes of defeating him, the younger rivals of the game's greatest player might want to, quote, lynch Tiger Woods in a back alley, unquote. She apologized. Woods said he took no offense and considered her a friend, and she accepted, without protest, a two-week suspension. But in our number one story tonight, Mr. Bush's most prominent TV cheerleader did not merely ignore the president's plea for restraint on this exact issue, nor glean any guidance from Kelly Thielman. Bill O'Reilly spoke on national radio about metaphorically lynching a black person, a black woman, and not just any black woman.
Oh, sorry.
Obama's wife.
Yeah, I thought he set up the clip. The phone call that Bill O'Reilly took was from a woman who said that she knew somebody who had some dirt on Michelle Obama being an angry woman. And O'Reilly says, yeah, if you don't have any proof, you know, I mean, we're not going to go with that. But if you get some proof, get off the air, we'll go with it. So I'm not going to start a lynching party. And here's exactly what he said after that.
And I don't want to go on a lynching party against Michelle Obama unless there's evidence, hard facts, that say this is how the woman really feels. If that's how she really feels, that America's a bad country or a flawed nation, whatever, then that's legit. We'll track it down. 1-877-9-NO-SPIN, right back.
Wait a minute. So what he said was...
unless...
then he will go on a lynching party?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to go on a lynching party unless. Yeah, that's the part right there that's like, okay, it's not so bad maybe that he said that. He could have tongue-in-cheeked it or whatever. But then he said unless. Unless, you find out it's the truth. So here's his apology.
Back in the book segment tonight, the DuPont, plenty of mail on Michelle Obama this week and tons of calls on the Radio Factor. As you may know, I believe Mrs. Obama was only referring to politics when she said that for the first time in her adult life, she is proud of her country. Now, if you look at both of the speeches that she made, and I have, the context is purely political. So I defended Mrs. Obama on both radio and TV.
While talking to a radio caller, I said there should be no lynching in the case. That comment off Clarence Thomas, saying he was the victim of a high-tech lynching. He said that on 60 Minutes, you may remember. I'm sorry if my statement offended anybody. That, of course, was not the intention. Context is everything.
So he's saying it was taken out of context?
Yeah, it was taken out of context. Now let's just listen real quick again what he says.
And I don't want to go on a lynching party against Michelle Obama unless...
I mean...
Then I do. Unless this criteria
one
is met.
One more time. I'm not sure if I heard this right. He said...
This is out of context,
and I don't
John.
Want to go on a lynching party against Michelle Obama unless...
Oh, you're being unfair.
All right, let me play this.
And I don't want to go on a lynching party against Michelle Obama unless there's evidence, hard facts, that say this is how the woman really feels. If that's how she really feels, that America's a bad country,
then I want
a
flawed lynch
nation, whatever, then that's legit.
And I want
we'll
to
track
lynch
it down. 1-877-9 no spin. Right back.
Totally out of context. I don't know what I was. Yeah.
What an ass. Ow.
Sorry.
And what's more patently offensive to you, Jane Fonda saying cunt or him saying what he just said?
Oh, without a doubt, Jane Fonda saying cunt. Come on. There's no question, Scott.
Yeah, I guess it's what. How do you define patently offensive? All right, let me get that.
Could you go get it finally?
Of course. I'll tell him to shorten his news up, too.
He might not like it.
Yeah.
Shitter was full! Hey, man, was full.
All right, I'm back.
All right, sit down already, heavy foot. Jesus Christ. All right, Phil, you ready?
Oh,
you
yes,
gotta get
so
the
cool.
Show
I'm
on the road. It's quarter after 11.
I'm ready when
man.
You're ready.
All right.
Thank you, John. I only have 3 pages tonight.
Shut up. This intro's going
it's
on.
It's more like
why
2.5.
Talk over the intro.
Thank you, John.
It's not very impressive.
Phil McCracken. I'm very impressive.
No, it's non-professional.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight. Oxford will spend $4 billion to study why mankind embraces God. They are not willing to accept the answer that people are just impressed that he knocked boots with the Virgin Mary and Joseph believed it. Next story, John. This is a soccer story.
Wow.
From
Jesus
the UK. Arsenal goalkeeper
fucking spear
allowed to
eyeball.
Miss training because his house is haunted. Arsenal goalkeeper Manuel Alumina's house is being haunted by the ghost of a monk. The star's wife spotted the ghoul at their swish pad on the site of an old asylum. Spaniard Alumina, 30, has also heard chains rattling and has had stereos turned on at full volume on their own. He is so spooked, boss Arsene Wegner has given him permission to go home for lunch to avoid leaving wife Anna alone at the house. Terrified, Alumina said yesterday, "My house is small, but there's a lot of history to it. And it's..." Oh, I'm sorry, he's a Spaniard, John. "My house is small, but there is a lot of history to it. And it seems they are ghosts. It's a place where there was a psychiatric hospital. They sent mental patients there and people who were sick after the Second World War." Next story, John. In a stunning turn of events, Raul Castro chosen as new Cuban president. Next story,
you,
John.
You Cuban?
Next story.
Not me.
Chicago area fourth graders' field trip is ruined by a naked guy masturbating while driving next to their bus.
No.
Police say fourth graders received an unwanted anatomy lesson during a field trip Thursday. Mark Hoyatoyek, 46, in Joliet was arrested after allegedly fondling self while driving naked next to a school bus for several miles.
Oh,
Chief Fred
Jesus.
Hayes said students from, and this is not a joke, students from the Woodview Elementary School in Bolingbrook were headed to a performance at the Rialto Square Theater around noon when a minivan pulled alongside the bus. Next story, John. That's no way to go through life, son. Intoxicated, naked, and urinating from a lookout tower. A man is facing indecent exposure charges for some bizarre behavior in Brevard County. Titusville police said Leroy Meredith climbed a lookout tower in Chain of Lakes Park on Monday. They said he then took off all his clothes and began urinating. Officer said Meredith was still drinking beer when they arrived. People riding bikes on nearby trail in the park said they couldn't help but notice. He was showing his indecent exposure, showing his cock to people and peeing off the tower up there, said one witness. Police think Meredith was so drunk that he didn't know what he was doing. Next story, John. Man and wife have argument over which one is too drunk to drive. Man provides the answer when he gets behind wheel and accidentally runs over his wife. Authorities found Becky Zubowicz still pinned beneath the SUV in Merritt Island. She remained in critical condition on Friday. Next story, John. Woman loses her job because she couldn't stop farting. That stinks. That really stinks, John.
Yeah, that's funny.
I think I brought some audio in for that. A woman who claimed she was taunted by colleagues because of her chronic flatulence yesterday lost an unemployment tribunal claim. The woman, who cannot be named, suffers irritable bowel syndrome. A colleague at Leeds Metropolitan University said of her, "She stinks the place at." A woman claimed constructive dismissal, but her case was thrown out by a Leeds tribunal. Next story, John. A man claims he was unaware. A man claims he was unaware. Model was dead until after he dropped his load. A man accused of killing teenage model Sally Ann Bowman did not realize she was dead until after he had sex with her body. Yes, John?
And she had rigor mortis, too, right?
Right, John. Mark Dixie, 37, denies killing the 18-year-old Croydon, South London, during a sex attack in September 2005. He claims he found her in a driveway of her home after she was attacked. Her body was found in a pool of blood after being... This is not funny, John. After being stabbed 7 times, DNA found on her body matched samples taken from Mr. Dixie. He did not... He did not know she was dead until intercourse was concluded. Even though you may think his conduct is disgusting, he allowed his lust to get the better of him. Next story, John.
Oh, no.
But was she stiff?
Yes.
I got some audio of him.
Yes, I forgot I brought that clip.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here it is. So stiff, he broke it off.
Next story, John. A 60-year-old Reading man has pleaded not guilty to a charge that he attacked a friend with a machete in a dispute over a case of beer. James Henry Schmidt is accused of attacking Randall Jackson after the two men argued over a case of Bud Ice on Tuesday night. Police say the 57-year-old Jackson suffered gashes on his neck, arms, head, and face. Schmidt is being held in the Shasta County Jail in lieu of $1 million bail. Next story, John.
I got some audio.
Yes.
Of him.
I brought that clip in as well. Go ahead.
Of him after he got hit with the machete.
Macheted.
Yeah.
Next story, John.
That's all I got.
Dumbass fined 32 times for refusing to wear a seatbelt. Decides to install a fake one in his car.
What? Like a paint on one?
Yes,
he installed
a fake one in the car. Finds out the hard way that it doesn't work like a real one. Ivan Sedigan's subterfuge killed him when he was in a head-on car crash while wearing a fake seatbelt. Ultimately, Mr. Sudigan's actions in driving without a seatbelt have cost him his life in an accident that may very well he have survived had he worn one.
Oh, Jesus.
Next and last story, John. Yes, that was the audio clip I brought in.
Of him crashing his car.
The car, actually, yes.
Wow. She's still crashing. Had some beer cans or something in there, too.
Next and last story, John.
Next
killer.
And last story.
A killer who cut off penis of wife's lover says he's sorry. A man who killed his estranged wife's lover and cut off his penis has apologized. saying he would give his own life to bring back Barry Corbett. Gabor Zia told the Supreme Court in a sentence hearing Wednesday
Gabor Zia.
That he did not realize his former wife was in love with Mr. Corbett and apologized to her, Mr. Corbett's family, and the Australian public that this horrific tragedy happened in their beautiful, rich, and happy country. And that is the news, John.
I got the
audio. Yes, please. Audio of the man. I brought a lot of audio clips in this week
with his penis cut off.
Yes, of course. It's very similar to the other man.
No, not at all.
With the machete.
No, it's not.
The machete.
The machete man. Wow. Wow.
All right, then.
There's a long pause before he screamed again. I don't know. Okay. Was that it?
Yes, that is the news, John. Always a pleasure to be here. I would have liked to have been here with the great Stephen Hawking was here. I'm a big fan of Professor Hawking, Dr. Hawking, if you will.
Uh-huh.
I am very interested in black holes.
All right. It's good to see you. Take care.
I heard there's one
now. All right.
By Uranus.
Bye.
John.
Yeah.
A black
hole. To wipe out the Klingons.
Right by Uranus.
Yeah.
All right then.
Right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Yes. Take care.
Of course.
Get out. Jesus Christ. Later. What? What did he say?
I don't know.
Are you coming back?
Yeah, I walked him to the door.
Oh, that was nice of you, man.
I took my mic,
too. It was really nice.
Yeah.
You took Mike with you?
Yeah, I took Mike with me.
That's out of sight.
All right, man, that wraps up episode 121.
Wraps it up.
How'd we do on time there, Johnny?
206, my friend.
No, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
206 it is.
We had the great
1130.
Stephen Hawking in.
Yes.
And got through the rest of the show. So next week we have the top 10 movies we hate.
Fucking hate.
And don't forget to visit the forum. We have a new forum.
Yeah.
And drop us a call.
All right. Yeah. Call us at
whatever.
847.
Whatever.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. 847 TTN Jizzed.
TTN Jizzed.
Yeah. What's the number?
1-847 TTN Jizzed.
TTN GIZD.
GIZD.
GIZD. Or 889-4493. Give us a call. Thanks for listening. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
We're out of here.
You're listening to John and Scott on Total Talk Nonsense.